Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to expound verses 12 through 17. And so get your Bibles out. And I need your attention here, right up here on the screen. And I've entitled this evening's message, Our Enemy is Defeated. Say that with me at home. Our enemy is defeated. Are you there? Revelation chapter 2. And let's read verses 12 through 17 and allow the Holy Ghost to have his way this evening. Amen. And so the Word of God reads, And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. That's key right there, saints of God. Verse 13 is very key. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. We're going to take a look at that. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Verse 14, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold, look at that, who hold the doctrine of Balaam, and who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, says God. And look at verse 16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Watch out. Don't get God mad. Now look at this. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, God, I need you to understand, saints of God, from the very beginning, way back in the Garden of Eden, the enemy of God has had an unholy assignment to thwart and to try to pervert the plan of God for your life and our lives. Oh, that's right. Look at this. I want you to see something here in the Word of God. It goes right here in Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Look at this. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? You see, old Slewfoot would always want you to doubt. He's always trying to trip you up. He's always trying to get into your mind to make you think that God is not real, that God is not alive. But look what it says here. You shall eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Look at this in verse 3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now look at old Slewfoot. He's very cunning. This is what he loves to do. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Did you catch that, my friends? This is what the devil wants to do in our lives, is to deceive us, to tell us lies, to cause us to doubt, and to cause us to walk in unbelief. If he can do that, he will disable you. He will thwart the call in your life. He will damage your heart through lies and through deceit. There are so many good and wonderful people that have been raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and they had a wonderful call in their life. And then the enemy came and sowed them a seed of discord and caused them to run, caused them to leave the fellowship, caused them to go a whole different direction, caused them to go and backslide. That's what the enemy wants to do. But I'm here to let you know that we need to expose old Slewfoot. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. Come on. We got a tattletale on Slewfoot. Why? Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come, hallelujah, to the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, saints, there was a war in heaven. That's right. There was a big war in heaven. And Lucifer was cast out of heaven. He forfeited his assignment and rebelled against God because of his pride. That's right. Look at God's word says right here in Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. Look what it says. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. Did you catch that, my friends? Now, look at this in verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Wow. My friends, let me just say this. When we see old Slewfoot, God's going to show him who he is. We're going to go, that was the guy that troubled the earth? My goodness. Let me just say this. He's got a big mouth, but he has no teeth. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right. The way he trips up mankind is through deception. No differently than what we just read, how he tried to deceive Eve, which he did in the garden. That's his game plan. That's his MO. That's how he operates. If he can get you to deny and be deceived and believe lies and slanders that come from the pit of hell, then guess what? He will disable you. That's right. That's right. Why? Because we just read what happened to Balak. See, the enemy was trying to get God's people to sin. And so they would not sin. So how did he do it? They sent in prostitutes into the camp and tempted the men to sin. And once they sinned, God had to judge them. You see, this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to put you in a trap. He wants to trap you. He wants to allow sin to enter into your life. And then God has to deal with you harshly. As a child of God, you see, you have to understand the strategy of Satan. His job is not to kill you. His job is to defame you. His job is to slander your name so that you are belittled. That's right. Because if he kills you, he won't get no glory out of humbling you and destroying you, your character and who you are. He just wants to obliterate who you are. That's right. That's right. And so we need to understand his ploys and his tactics. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Satan's deep hatred is against God. God's highest creation is man. God's covenant people, the Jewish nation. And the born again church that is washed in the blood. This is who he cannot stand. He hates this group of people. He hates us with a passion. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he wants to destroy us every which way. Let's look at this. When Satan was cast down, where was his throne here on earth? Huh? Where was his throne? Okay, so let's go back and read this for a moment, my friends. in Revelation 2, 12 through 17, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. I want you to catch that for a moment, my friends. I want you to catch that. Look at this. This is ancient Pergamos. Now, what's a blessing, and I want you to see these photos that I have here for you. Years ago, a good maybe 10 years ago, a group of us, a large group from Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, we were with Pastor Leo at Mission Valley. We did a side trip on the way to Israel, and we got to see Pergamos. We went to Ephesus. This is all in Turkey. And Revelation said that the seat of Satan was right there in Turkey. And I'm going to show you some ruins, and we're going to see that during this time, thousands of years ago, that's where Satan's seat, his throne was. Let's look at this for a moment. Right there is an open amphitheater in Ephesus right there. You can see all the ruins that were dug up. But these are real geographical areas that Revelation talks where Satan's throne was. And we're going to look a little deeper with this. Let's look at this. We were traveling down the center of these ruins in Turkey. My goodness, my goodness. There's our good friend right there, Tony Abbott, right there. You see him right there. He has a camera in his hand next to a guy with a white t-shirt. Yeah, we were all there. We were all there. Look at this. This is Sister Yolanda right there on a mountaintop overlooking where Satan's seat was, and right there in the book of Revelation that talks about Pergamos. Wow. Wow, my friends. This is a real geographical place, I'm telling you. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this place. Oh, that's me now on that same spot with our tour guide Ito. But we got to see these things. We got to understand the book of Revelation, that it's real. These geographical places are real. And we're going to see how the evil one was resurrected to do another task to the Jewish people. See, the whole thing was Satan wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Why? Because that's where the lineage, that's where the line. Listen, that's where the line of Jesus came from. That's right. He came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Satan needed to destroy this people. He tried it in the Old Testament, and in the book of Revelation, we see that again. But we're also going to see in our history, in our generation, how he attempted to do that again. That's right. Let's look at this for a moment. Right there, that's ancient. You can look at that right there. And you can see the dark orange right there toward the right. And that is where Satan's seat was when he fell from heaven. Wow. Wow, my friends. Listen. Daniel, the prophet, he prophesied about Satan's onslaught at the temple and the Jewish nation. Let's go there for a minute. Let's go there and let's read this for a moment. In Daniel 11, 31 through 32, let's look at this. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall what? Shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's right. That's right. Now, this is what they did during the times of Jesus when the Maccabees wrote this. And it was the Maccabees that recaptured back the temple during this time. But look what they built there. And it was all there, just like Daniel mentioned. But look at that. They built a statue of Zeus on the Temple Mount. What? Yes, they did. Oh, yes, they did. My goodness. You see, my friends, the Maccabees came and delivered the temple back to God by the power of God, which is a day of remembrance called Hanukkah. That's why they celebrate Hanukkah. You ever notice on a calendar it says Christmas and then Hanukkah? Well, God's people delivered back the temple, and it was a great illumination, and they had to destroy that abomination that was in that temple. And my friends, during this same time frame, another altar was erected called the Altar of Zeus. Let's look at this altar. Look at this one. This is the Altar of Zeus. Now, it's the great altar of Pergamon on display in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin, Germany. Now, this is where it gets interesting, my friends. This is where it all gets interesting. Look at this. In 1871, this same temple was dug up and sent to Germany in pieces, and the following year, anti-Semitism sprung up throughout Germany's country. I want you to catch this now, because old Slewfoot, he's relentless. He's relentless. All he wants to do is destroy the Jewish people. Look at this. In 1889, Germany completed the restoration of Altar of Zeus. In the same year, Adolf Hitler was born, on April 20th, 1889. Wow. Wow. And we're going to see something that's so startling. So startling, my friends. Look at this. Startling day in Jewish history. Hitler was born on the Hebrew calendar on Nisan 19, 5649. This day was 4 days after Passover, which is also Nisan 15. Okay, there's a lot of significance here, and there's a whole lot that maybe you just don't understand just yet. But let me just say this. There was another era in history where Satan filled a man to destroy the Hebrew people. And that was Pharaoh. That was Pharaoh. God had to send a deliverer. Who was the deliverer? It was Moses. Okay? And so thousands of years later, we see it played out once again. And we're going to look at this for a moment. But let's go to Exodus right now, and let's just read the account right here in Exodus 14, 21 through 25. Look what it says right here. It says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided." You remember the parting of the Red Sea. "So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and onto their left." Look at this. "And the Egyptians pursued and went after them." My goodness, they were a relentless foe. "Went after them in the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians." My goodness, my goodness. Now, look at this. "And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.'" Praise God. Praise God. God is always fighting for his people. God is always fighting for you. That's right. How many times have you been pursued by your enemy? How many times has the enemy came and threw an onslaught of slander, of accusation against you, and how God came to rescue you, how God came to lift you up, how God came to lift your burden, how God came to heal you, how God came to raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord? I'm here to let you know that the enemy will be relentless until Jesus comes again. But I'm here to you know, greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. I'm here to let you know that God will put a shield and a buckler around his children. God will be the lifter of our heads. God will be the healer of our bodies. God will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. God will do the miraculous in our life. Hallelujah. But you got to hold on. You got to hold on. And you must understand, I'm showing you the principles and how the enemy works. You have to tie it all in this study to see that he's cunning. The enemy's cunning. He's one of those enemies that is relentless, that wants to destroy you. That's right. Yes, he does. You see, my friends, Berlin, Germany became the focal point of the world, which catapulted the First World War. After World War I, the temple is still intact in Berlin, Germany, and Nazism began to rise. That's right. You see, in the 1930s, the altar of Zeus becomes open to the public for the first time. And now the Nazis in Germany have the throne of Satan, the altar of Zeus, right there in their midst. Now, Hitler consults with Albert Speer. Who is this guy? That he wants a platform to speak to his nation and to the world. He wanted the replica of the seat of Satan. So, look at this. He consulted with this guy, an atheist. This is a German that hated the Jews. So, Hitler became demon-possessed. That's right. He became demon-possessed. Now, let me just say this. So, this guy, Albert Speer, he goes to Berlin, copies all the dimensions, and takes it back to Hitler for his approval, and begins to build the altar in it's called Nuremberg. It's a place in Germany where Hitler's headquarters were. That's right. Let's look at this for a moment. We're going to look at this platform right here that was built. That right there, and you see that podium with the Nazi symbol? That's where Hitler would stand there, filled with the demons, filled with the devil, and preach hate and murder and chaos. And he had a whole nation deceived. That's right. He had a whole nation deceived. Look at this. He would stand there and speak to thousands, convincing them that the Jews needed to be destroyed, that God's people, that God created, God's nation, God who brought the Messiah through, and it's the same Messiah that's coming back again. That's right. That's right. That's right. Look at this. That's where this evil man spoke. He spoke, and when he spoke, he spewed out hatred. He spewed out things that were an abomination to God. Here's another site right here. They built that same altar that Satan, it was a replica of Satan's seat in Pergamos. Wow. Wow. So when they built it in Germany, the devil went into this man and started once again. He was resurrected. He had a body that he can preach out of to try to destroy the people of God. That's right. All these people were deceived by this man that was filled with the devil. I'm here to let you know, my friends, that old Slewfoot is still around. Oh, that's right. He's still around. And right now, let me just say this. Let me just pause and say this. Right now, his goal is to get rid of the church. His goal is to silence us. Right now, they're taking God out of the whole equation in our society. They already removed him in the public school. They already removed the Lord Jesus Christ in the court system. They already removed him in the public square, where it's happy holidays. So it's no longer Merry Christmas. This is why they wanted Trump out. Why? Because he was standing with us. And now we have a generation of God haters. Right now, they passed a law through one executive order to go ahead and abort babies. Not just abort them, but allow them to be born and they can sit next to the mother and decide whether to kill the child or not. My goodness, that is a diabolical scheme. That is an abomination. And right now, I truly believe that the greatest voice right now, no different than Hitler, no different than Pharaoh, is the voice of abortion that's destroying already 60 million babies in our nation. And no one's speaking up on their behalf. There is no one standing up for them. But this is the time where the church needs to rise up in faith and to bind and rebuke the devil right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come against you, Satan. You are the foe. You are the enemy of God. And we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to worship the King right now. And we need to bind the enemy. We need to bind the enemy from our house. We need to bind the enemy from our lives. We need to bind the enemy from our children. We need to bind the enemy from our grandchildren. We need to bind the enemy that wants to destroy your finances, that wants to destroy your health, that wants to shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. But we need to let the devil know that soon and very soon he will be cast into the lake of fire when Jesus comes again. For the word of God says, out of Jesus' mouth will become a sword. Hallelujah. And the sword will destroy all the enemies of God. And he will cast the false prophet. And he will cast Satan into the lake of fire. Somebody got to give God praise and glory. Because God's about ready to do something radical. Can I get an amen in the house? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Saints, the major goal that the enemy wants to carry out is to wipe out the Jewish nation, to prove that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob doesn't exist. That's right. And that also includes us, because we're part of that lineage. We came through the line of them. We came, hallelujah, because the Messiah came and delivered us and saved us, hallelujah, from this untoward generation. And so, my friends, Hitler had this satanic platform to rule and reign like God. Satan always wanted to be like God. Hitler was demonized, no different than Judas Iscariot. That's right. And so, saints, in Nuremberg is where the laws begin to change, and Hitler proclaims to their nation that there is a final solution. It was the extermination of the Jews. That's right. Friends, let me just say this. This is resurrected again. This political party, these Democrats that hate God, that has removed the Bible out of the public square, they're no different. This is an evil voice that hates the church, that hates you and I. Why? Because a lot of them are demonically possessed. That's right. Listen, Jesus says, you're either with me or against me. You're either for the things of God or you're not. There's no in between. There's no hot and cold. I mean, there's no medium lukewarmness. He says that if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Saints, remember, this was a replica. That altar was a replica. And an altar requires a blood sacrifice. An altar requires something to be lifted up and worshiped. That's right. That's right. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Webster Dictionary defines an altar as an elevated place or structure as a mound or platform at which religious rites are performed or on which blood sacrifices are offered to gods and ancestors, etc. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Let me go further and explain this for a moment. You see, my friends, the Holocaust was not just a place of death for millions of Jews. It was a burnt offering to Satan. That's what it was. He offered up, listen, there were 60 million people that died in World War I. And 6 million Jews died. Did you catch this for a moment? I want you to catch something. The Jews were all thrown into the ovens to be burnt alive. That's right. Now, the Feast of Yom Kippur is the holiest day for the Jewish people, where in ancient times they would have a scapegoat, which they would tie a red ribbon around a goat and lead it off to a high mountain. The high priest would lay hands on the goat with all the Israel's sins and was thrown off the mountain. That's right. That's right. I want you to see something right here for a minute, and then we're going to explain all this and tie it all in and bring it home. Look at this. The high priest would lay hands and all the sins would be upon the goat. And then there would be two goats. One would have a red ribbon, which signified the blood. And the other one, the priest would lay hands like we just saw. And that one they would lead out to the wilderness and throw it off a mountain. What? That's right. That's right. They would do that. Now, there's the one with the red ribbon. And that's the one that was sacrificed. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you to see something. Look at this. Hitler, possessed by Satan, gathered all the Jews in cattle trains and red-tagged all of their passports to lead them to the ovens for Satan's sacrifice. They were led as lambs for the slaughter. So let me just go back and say this. They would lay hands. The high priest would lay hands on the goat, tie a red ribbon, send them off into the wilderness, and throw them off a cliff. And that was their sacrifice unto God, because God required that. But Satan perverted it. He wanted to do the same thing on the same Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. He gathered 6 million, and he red-tagged them. Let's look at this for a moment so that I can show you exactly what we're talking about here. He red-tagged them. Oh, yeah, it's already recorded in history. That's right. Let's look at this. First of all, this is what he gathered. He put them in train carts, okay? And they didn't know where they were going. The Bible says they were like sheep led to a slaughter. It's in the Word of God. They didn't know where they were going, other than that their whole world was rocked, and they were led to these trains. Now, let's look at this. Here's another one. But what were they tagged with? See, Satan is so diabolical. And Hitler, who was demon-possessed, he tagged them all. Look at this. See that red tag? That was their pass to get on the train. That was their pass to get on the train. So that was like the ribbon tied on the goat that the old priest did, that would lay hands on the goat, all the sins of Israel would be on it, and they would cast it over the mountain. So Satan perverted the highest holiday, which is Yom Kippur. And look, here's another tag. This is what they looked like. They all had this passport with that red J for Jew. And that's how they got on the train. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's right. But here's the thing. Where was their final destination? Where was their final destination? Where did this passport lead them to? It led them to the final destination, were the ovens in Auschwitz, Germany. That's right. It led them here. Look at this. It led them to the ovens. They were burned alive. 6 million of them were burned alive. That's right. These are photos of the ovens. My goodness. Look at this, my friends. It was Hitler's burnt offerings to Satan. Satan perverted the holiest day for the Jews, which was Yom Kippur. Wow. Wow. Do you know history always repeats itself? Look at this. Hitler offered up his tithe of 10% to Satan. 6 million Jews were murdered by him. During World War II, approximately 60 million people had died. Wow. This is insane. But you have to understand history. You have to understand this. And so, my friends, look at this. The altar of Zeus in Greek means kostos, or burnt, and a complete or whole burnt offering mean holos. So the word in Greek spells out holos kostos. I want you to catch this. Now known as the Holocaust. It was the altar of Holocaust. Wow. And let me just say this, my friends. I just need to say this. That the enemy is going to repeat itself. This is why the church needs to be praying. This is why we need to be fasting. This is why you need to be in your word. This is why we need to draw close to God. Why? Because when you remove the Lord God Almighty from our society, we now have a nation full of barbarians, spiritual barbarians. Many kids nowadays, from youth to teens, don't even know who Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob is. They don't know who Moses is. They don't even know who the Lord Jesus is. Why? Because it was the attempt of the enemy to remove the Bible, to remove prayer, to remove all these things in the 60s. And now we have a nation voided of God. This is why, my friends, those of you that are called, that are sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name, this is the time to raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And if you have children that are not saved, and you have grandchildren, bring them into the house of God. Despite of what your children say, they'll come, but listen, we have an opportunity, we have an obligation to preach the word. Can I get an amen? This is the time now, because the enemy is relentless. And what we just saw, what Pharaoh tried to do with the Jews. We just saw what Hitler tried to do. Now we live in this generation where God is going to defend us. I know he will, because God's word says, but the enemy is coming against the Jews and the born-again church. Why? Because we all link together by faith. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's look at this scripture right here. Look at this. In Jeremiah 2, 1 through 3, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Look at this. Verse 3, Israel was holiness to the Lord. The first fruits of his increase, all that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Wow. Wow. Saints, the enemy is after you and I too. The Ayatollahs, the extreme Islamic nations in the communist countries like China are also demon-possessed and want to exterminate the Jews and the born-again church, us Christians. Thousands of Christians are losing their lives for the cause of Christ in the Middle East already. And persecution will be here soon. That's right. That's right. It will be here soon. Now, let's look at this for a moment and we close. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's read that one more time. These things, say that with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's going to take us out from this generation of untowardness. That's right. We live in a generation that's, as I mentioned, that does not honor God anymore. There is pornography. There is abortion. There is fornication. There is drug use. There is sex slavery. All these abominations are in our country that is smothering our nation. But I'm here to let you know that when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes, out of his mouth shall come the word of God and the sword of the Spirit, and he's going to destroy his enemies. But let me just say this. Take heed and take joy that God is coming for his church. We are the born again church. God is going to rescue us. He's going to give us a new body, hallelujah, that's not made out of flesh and blood, but we will be like him. And God's going to come and he's going to part, hallelujah, the the skies and come in the clouds, and he's going to come and take you and I home. Praise God. That's right. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and this is what he said. Look at this. He says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, if you look behind me, you see those clouds in the sky? You see the ones further behind me over there, just on the other side of that cliff or that little island? That's right. Jesus is coming in the clouds. And when he comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But let me just say this. The greatest event that will take place in the history of this world, and it's very soon, is we're going to be raptured out of here. But let me just say this. We cannot depart this earth with these fleshly bodies. These bodies right now, we are confined to this world by the law of gravity. And flesh and blood, the Bible says, cannot enter in. Because if these bodies of flesh were to go into heaven, we would bring the sin with it. Because there's sin in our mortal being. So something radically has to take place. That's right. Let's look at that. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. This is what he wrote. "Now I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning we shall not all die physically, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound." This is going to be blasted by a big giant shofar that the angels will bring. "And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Changed." Praise God. For this corruptible, this body of flesh that we live in, it's corrupt, must put on incorruption, meaning we have to put on a body that has no sin. And this mortal must put on immortality, that the body that the new body we're getting will live forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, meaning living forever, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." My friends, my question is, are you ready? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb by the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been filled with the Spirit of promise? Have you been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins? You see, these things must take place. This is your ticket. This is what allows God to come and take us out of here. He's only coming for the born-again church. Not everyone that says they're Christians are gone. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready? And if you're not ready, don't let this happen to you, my friends. Don't let this happen.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come...
Wow, my friends, So the question is, are you ready? Or do you want to be left behind, like what you just saw? In order to be ready, you must repent. The very first sermon preached by the Apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, he preached this word right here. And it still is validated today. It goes just like this. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remissions of sins means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, my friends. You too can receive God. You too can leave this earth by the blast of the shofar when Jesus comes and takes his bride home. And all you have to do is cry out to God. That's right. I want to pray with you and lead you into a sinner's prayer. Now, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. And if God is tugging on your heart, if you feel the presence of God right there in your living room, wherever you're watching, that's God saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. Some of you right now are on a journey that's very horrendous, and that you have no peace. You have no joy. You have no pleasure of the things that God wants you to have. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, meekness, all these things. Maybe you're lacking these things, but God wants to give you all that through the power of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, you're tired of this life that you're living and you want to change, you want God to renew you, you want God to do something miraculously in your life, I need you to pray this prayer with me by faith. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray with me this prayer of confession. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Somebody just gave their heart to the Lord. Someone just got saved. And we want to rejoice with you. Listen, down below is our website. And go to our website. Our contact number is there. Our email is there. And reach out to us, because we want to reach out to you and give you a brand new Bible and point you to a church that will teach the Word of God unadulterated, that won't lie to you, that will give you truth. And maybe it's our church, because we would love for you to come. But my friends, I just want to say thank you once again. I want to say thank you for all those who have been faithful over the years, and especially these last several months. I want to thank you for sending your love, your gifts, your monetary gifts, your tithes, your offerings. We just want to say thank you for being faithful. And if you've never given to our ministry, down below you'll see our website, and donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. I hope you got blessed with this message. I'm looking forward to seeing each and every one of you this Sunday morning at 10:30. Come and join us with worship and praise, and God will prepare a word for each and every one of us. And I am so excited what God is doing in the midst of His people. So allow me to pray this benediction to bless your home, and then I will sign off and hopefully see you on Sunday. And so the prayer goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say goodbye, good night. We love you, and we hope to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.